you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, you'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we are going to have a couple different angles for you on real estate investing. I want you to be paying attention carefully for an entirely different focus on buying that first house. And also pay attention to some tools that are coming your way to help you think about how you can get involved in investing no matter what the market's doing. So tune in, enjoy Van Sturgeon, and I'll see you on the other side.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. Hey, y'all, just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you having me. I've listened to a couple of your podcasts and it's some really good stuff, a lot of great content, a lot of diversified topics. So that's good. It's cool.
You know, that's real estate. It's all over the place. And so we can't stay in the same vein. That would be boring. And we don't have time for boring, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're named after a fish. And so I have to know if your family ever went and caught a sturgeon at some point. I mean, I'm very curious about this.
What happened was my family immigrated from a country called Macedonia. And my real name is Sturjevsky, but I think at the Ellis Island or something like that, they just kind of, you know, it sounds sturgeon. So that's what they put down. And you know, my grandparents at the time, they didn't know any better, said, yeah, just get me into this beautiful country. And that was it.
And luckily, you know, fish is a staple in the Mediterranean diet, so that works out fine.
This is true.
You are Van Sturgeon. Tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, currently I'm semi-retired right now in my life, and I'm a real estate investor, and I've got a portfolio of properties over 1,000 units. I've got several companies that are in the real estate industry, and I'm sort of, I've got good people running them, great people actually running them, and I sort of taken a downshift in my life because I've led a really hard life in the beginning. And now I really enjoy helping people try to overcome their fears or resistance or hesitations associated with rehabbing, renovating property. So I love engaging people. I love helping people. It makes me happy and I enjoy it. And so that's what I kind of do. That's why I spend my time right now.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because we see that even with real estate professionals, they don't do investing themselves. And so they're afraid to get started because they heard one horror story one time and then they fail to educate their clients on it because they don't know it well. So I'd love for you to go rewind to the beginning of your real estate investing career. Talk about that first investment property and where it was and what got you excited about the opportunity to get over that fear.
Sure. So what had happened with my life was I started off early on in the late 80s, early 90s, being a general contractor. And so I've got a family background in my parents purchased an apartment building and that was their baby. That was their thing. So as a kid growing up, I did everything associated with it because you're too young to remember. But back in the late 70s and early 80s, it was a really difficult time with the interest rates and the economy, all that kind of stuff.
We won't mention that we feel like it's Carter 2.0 right now, but we sure hope interest rates don't go back to Carter 2.0 because that was a really challenging time. And I hate to interrupt you, but you got to tell me something about this apartment building. Did your parents buy this as a source of revenue or was it a retirement vehicle or were they just, why did they go after this little apartment building? I mean, that's a classic first investment.
So what had happened was I was brought up and raised in Chicago, and we lived in this one-bedroom apartment, the whole family, my younger brother, and myself. And my parents were scurrying all their money together to purchase a house to live out, you know, the American dream, to own their own property, their own home. And I don't know how they were able to figure out that this building that they were renting from went up for sale. And so they put all their money together, including borrowing some money from family, and they put the down payment to purchase this apartment building. And everything was wonderful.
You were already living there.
Pardon me? Yes.
The one you were already living in? I love this. This is the best story ever.
Yeah. So that's what happened to them. So they purchased this building. They saw the opportunity. They bought it. And everything was fine initially. And then all of a sudden, the oil embargo and then the Iran hostage situation, interest rates going up to 18, 20%, and inflation was ridiculous. All that kind of stuff really depressed the economy, in particular Chicago, where a lot of people started migrating out of the city. And all of a sudden, my parents were faced with vacancies of 40 to 60%. And as a kid in our neighborhood, it was a beautiful neighborhood. I remember buildings were being torched by landlords to collect insurance money because the economy was so bad. Now, landlords couldn't have vacancy rates of 40, 60, 50%, and they just couldn't make the bills, couldn't pay their bills, couldn't pay their mortgages.
How did they hang on them? Because obviously they were determined not to lose what they put their life savings into.
Yes, and that's why as a family, we never went on vacations. We would buy dented 10-cent cans. I remember going to the supermarket and there would be a shopping cart with cans that had that paper removed and nobody would know what the heck they were. And so we, as a family, would buy all those 10-cent cans, bring them home. And as I remember as a kid huddling around that table, opening them up and yay, it's a cocktail, fruit cocktail. We'd have dessert that day. And then sometimes it'd be dog food and we'd have to throw it out because we didn't have a dog. But anyways, it gave me the background associated with real estate. We did everything from roofing to plumbing to cleaning toilets, all that kind of stuff. It gave me that background as a kid growing up. And so it was natural progression when I got out of university to get into general contract, to get in the real estate industry. And so I started my business. And luckily during that time in the early 90s, it was a good time in real estate. And I was getting more and more progressively busy. But what ended up happening was I keep running into the same kind of cats who I would price out work for, who are in their real estate investment. They had a portfolio of property and would buy, they would flip, they would hold on to. And then I realized, hey, you know what, maybe I could get into this racket as well. And so I acquired my first property and I bought it for around $40,000 in Chicago, this little bungalow. Spent around $17,000, $18,000 in doing little cosmetic renovations. And a couple of months later, I ended up selling it. I was into it for $60,000 and I'm selling it for $97,000, $98,000. With all my expenses, this and that, I ended up with like $30,000, which was a lot of money at the time because the average salary was around $20,000, $30,000 for a whole year. So me making that in 4 months is like, whoa, this is something that's in my wheelhouse. I enjoyed it. And that's what got me rolling in it.
You got to talk to me about that a little bit, how you pulled the trigger on it. Because as we know, oftentimes the new investor finds a property and the numbers look okay on paper and then they just can't stomach it because you are taking on risk. And so for anybody that's listening or watching, you have to remember this piece. For every property that you buy with the intention of rehabbing it and making a profit, you have to know there's going to be a property that you wind up in the hole on because the market changes or your costs go overrun or just nobody wants to buy it. And so the reason that you have a guy like Van who can make a profit on a house like this, he's willing to take that risk. So you have to get to step one of taking the risk to make it happen. So walk us through that emotional process, if you would, just real briefly. I mean, you come from a background where your parents managed the risk and held on, and then you see this flip opportunity or renovation opportunity or value add, however you want to call the vocabulary. But putting your money on the line is an entirely different thing than looking at it on paper.
Absolutely. And you got a lot of things there we can talk about. So first, it's a matter of mindset. When you first get into a car, when you're 16 years old, you know, you got this fear and apprehension about getting up behind the steering wheel. If you really think about it, there's so many different aspects that you got to control, from looking around to the brake pedal and all that kind of stuff that you got to figure out. But then, you know, fast forward a couple of years later, you just walk into the car and it's like second nature to you. But it's a lot of work that's involved in driving a vehicle. So it's the mindset that people need to overcome. I came from a background where I had that kind of stuff already figured out on my end in terms of, because I already had an existing successful business that I launched into. So the rehab portion, the renovation portion was never an issue for me. At the end of the day, numbers don't lie. And so what I did was I looked at the numbers of what I bought it for, what comparable properties were going for in the area. I knew approximately what the cost would be associated with the rehab. And that's where I figured out, hey, there's some money to be made. oftentimes what I find new real estate investors who get into it don't have enough information. They don't know diligence on the marketplace. They need to have a creative power team, people like yourself, people that are in the industry, that are in the specific area that they're interested in, and creating that power team where they got real estate agents that they're conversing with, they got accountants, they got probate lawyers, they got mortgage brokers, they got, you know, all that kind of stuff. And once you have all of that sort of thing, then you can tap into, get that information to determine whether this is the next step that you should be making. Ultimately, there are deals everywhere, every single day. I keep hearing about this crazy market. There's nothing out there. That's not true. There's opportunities everywhere, every single day. I have emails that come in every single day from the areas that I invest in, from people like yourself that says, hey, Van, look at this great deal. And there are opportunities that my team goes through and identifies. Like I go between 100 to 300 transactions in a year. And every single day I go through them. So when I hear people saying, no, it's horrible out there. No, it's not. Could it be better? Absolutely. It'd be nice if it wasn't as crazy. I think it would be nice if it calmed down, because we need an economy that's sustainable. And this craziness is not good long-term, but there's opportunities everywhere. Even if this flamed out, there's still opportunities. Always got to be careful. The money is made on the buy.
You set it up. Yeah. Say that again for the people in the back, because people, you think you make money when you sell, you do not. The selling is the after effect of what happened when you purchased. And that doesn't mean you have to steal a property. So when we say you buy correctly, it doesn't mean you have to leave blood on the table, but it means you have to know your markets. And Van, I love that you brought up having a full and complete team with you, because none of us know everything. And that's probably one of the biggest common threads for successful investors. They don't try to know everything. They don't want to know everything, but they want to know somebody who does.
Absolutely. And one of the things I'm going to tell you, my history, like a long, long time ago, I got to the point where I was burning the candle at both ends, where I had my general contracting business. It was booming. And then I was doing the fix and flip, all that kind of stuff over here on this other side. And it got to a point where I had the mindset of being a micromanager. I got an A-plus personality. And so what happened to me was I ended up sleeping on job site. One particular job site, I was sleeping on the job site and I had just gotten married. I didn't even go on my honeymoon. I'm sleeping on a job site. In the middle of the night, I wake up staring at this freshly painted ceiling. And all these things came through my head about the contractor didn't show up. The kitchen manufacturer was delayed. All this kind of stuff came to a head. And I couldn't go back to sleep. And then the next morning, I'm like, I got to do something about this. This is craziness. Like, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And then that's when I reached out to a real estate investor who's very successful, great portfolio property, who also was coaching. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, I need help. And they're willing to help me. I paid him a lot of money at the time, but it was instrumental in being able to take me from here to here. And I haven't looked back since. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in seminars, books, coaching, mentorship, you name it. I've done it to invest in myself. That's the critical thing here, that a lot of people don't want to spend money on themselves. They think they're going to run out and buy a property on MLS. And no. You got to spend money on yourself to get yourself educated to that proper mindset. And then once you're there, then it's a springboard to be able to accomplish great things. Everybody, I'm not any different than you or anybody else who listens to this podcast. I'm not special. You just got to put in the time and effort to get you to the next level, and everybody can do it. That's the reason why 90% of the multimillionaire billionaires in the world are involved in real estate.
Yes.
You don't have to be a Bill Gates to be a multimillionaire.
We don't want to be a Bill Gates right now. Let's just be honest. Nobody wants to be involved in that. And by the way, friends, we're recording this at the end of May 2021 when Bill and Melinda Gates' divorce is Days of Our Lives happening right in front of us. That's why that's hilarious to all of us. But let's talk about briefly that jump that you made, because you did invest in yourself. And I think that's such a great point that you made kind of by accident. We think about investing in real estate as just investing in the assets, and you're investing in the cash flow and you're investing in the equity, but you really are investing in yourself, and you're thinking about the knowledge that it takes to do things well and the knowledge that it takes to go next level. And so if we're going to go next level, you go from one door to 1,000 doors. What's the one lesson you would impart to people that want to do what you've done and become what you've been? There's one thing they need to know. Like Curly in the City Slickers, they're like, he's like, just the one thing. What's the one thing?
So I think that the most important thing that people can take away is that you can literally get started in this industry, in this business, with zero money down. And it happens with the relationships that you create with people around you. If you really want to get serious in this business, you need to join your local real estate investment association, your local REI. You need to get involved in your meetup groups. You need to meet beautiful people like yourself. You need to get the information. You need to create relationships, create win-win situations with people. That's the base that you need to start. Through my life, I realized, like I already touched on the story about real estate coaching, you don't get something for nothing. It's either time or money that's going to take for you to be able to go up to the next level. When I got to that point, at that juncture in my life, I needed that individual to be able to help me go up to that next level. And it's akin to, like, if I were to give you a guitar, let's pretend you don't know how to play the guitar. If you were to grab that guitar and you decided that you wanted to learn how to play that guitar, you could probably in a couple of years sit there fumbling around and figure out a song. It'll take you a long time. You make a heck of a lot of mistakes. How about if I were to, if you hired a guitar instructor who's a professional, who sits right beside you, teaches you how to hold the guitar, the chords, and if you make a mistake, maybe he slaps you upside the head and says, hey, you made a mistake. The progress of you being able to get to the point from A to Z is a lot quicker without failure, without, you know, because you have somebody right there beside you. And oftentimes I find people, that's really, if you're going to make an investment, you should be making it as someone like that to be able to take you, to show you the ropes. Because I don't care how many internet sites, I don't care how many books you read, practical knowledge by a seasoned veteran sitting beside you is something that there's no dollar value. There's no dollar value. Because of this real estate industry, how much thousands of dollars you're investing, if you make a wrong mistake, it's crippling. You're not going to be able to get out of it. So I strongly advise people, that's what they should be doing. Those are the things I would suggest.
And when you're hiring that coach, guys, make sure you're asking what their current activity is. You want a practitioner, you want somebody who's got their boots on the ground, even if they've gone next level and they've got people with them. What are they doing day to day with the business? Because markets change, real estate and product changes, the consumer behavior changes. Somebody's got to be in the space right now to understand it. So for example, in 2021, we're all dealing with forbearance and evictions and how do we manage tenant cash flows. That's something that somebody who used to invest 30 years ago but no longer is active won't have information about to help you fill in the gaps on your spreadsheet, because you've got to be able to run the numbers. So you've got to ask great questions, which means I got to wrap this up with some crystal ball from you. So when we're recording this, obviously the market's very frothy. We're at a high place. However, there's some very negative tax policies being proposed in Washington, D.C. that are going to have a really negative impact on investors. So what would you say to the first-time investor who's thinking, man, maybe I should wait? What would you say to them?
I would say, again, money is made on the buy, and there's opportunities every single day. And if you buy a property that is low enough in price and it's got great potential, that it's irrelevant when you buy. I bought in properties at the high of the highs and the low of the lows, and it's irrelevant. You just got to do your due diligence. You got to create a great power team, you know, people like yourself who's knowledgeable and experienced in their particular marketplace, and be able to bang out. There's no secrets in this. This isn't like me buying a stock. If I go run out and buy a good Bitcoin or buy a Microsoft, I don't know what's going to be next week, next month, next year. But I know if I buy a property, if the market rate is 100 grand and I bought it for 60, 70, even if that market went down the tubes, real estate market hardly ever does down the tubes, but it might come down, I'm still in a safe place. I'm still good. And that's the takeaway hopefully people get, is that if you do your due diligence, you can do very, very well in real estate.
Well, and to that point, if you're buying a $100,000 property, even if you're paying $100,000 for it, you've got a tangible asset that is going to produce cash flows in some way, shape, or form, which is entirely different than the equities market or even the entirely wild speculative market of cryptocurrency, which I'm highly entertained watching all the conversation on Twitter, but that's not what I know, so I don't play in that space. I know real estate, so we play in this one. Van, if somebody wants to follow up with you and find out more about coaching and mentoring and how they can go next level and replicate some of your successes, how can they reach you?
I've got a website, vansturgeon.com, and I highly suggest people that they want to reach out to me, or if they want great information, I've got a bunch of podcasts that I've been on. I've got a number of articles that have been published, a number of circulations, but in particular, I'm offering a free renovation calculator my team and I have spent about a couple of months in putting it together, where it eliminates the kind of guesswork associated with you determining what the budget should be for a reno. So it's a great little tool where you just plug in the things that you want to do throughout your property and it spits out a number. It's really nice to be able to have, to give you an idea or a sense of what the property, this rehab is going to cost. So I encourage people to go to my website, vansturgeon.com, to get that information and get that renovation calculator.
Well, I'll be grabbing that calculator for myself. So thank you for free tools. And thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing some insights and some opportunities. And guys, if you're listening to this and you happen to be a practicing realtor, why don't you rewind and listen again to that little tip about Van's mom and dad buying that apartment building as their first residence so that they could not just have their home covered, but that they could have other people with their lives covered, also helping to offset that mortgage for long-term investment. That's something a lot of people don't think about as an opportunity, but it's there. And if you're a consumer listening to this and you're thinking, man, I wish I'd have known that, you should reach out and we'll connect you with somebody in your market that can help. Van, thank you for coming on the show and I'm grateful for you sharing your successes in retirement such as it is and look forward to connecting with you in the future.
Great pleasure being on your podcast. Thank you very much.
All right, guys, all of his contact information is in the show notes for this episode. And after you're thinking about how amazing this is and how that renovation calculator changes your life, go listen to his information. Give us 5 stars. Tune in and we'll see you next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown or tweet me at Lee Brown or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.